RNIB has launched its accessible guide for stadiums. Now, it's all part of See Sport Differently, and it's looking to make the experience of visiting a football stadium more accessible for blind and partially sighted people. And I'm joined by David McArdle, who is from the English Football League. Thanks for joining us, David.
No problem, Alan. Thank you.
Quite an exciting launch to have a guide like this, which RNIB are hoping to share with clubs and organisations around the UK. And I suppose it's another helpful aid, I suppose, to people like yourself. I mean, you know, that's your bread and butter, accessibility.
Yeah, well, what we try and do in the English Football League, the EFL, which looks after the English Championship, League One and League Two, so 72 clubs across England and Wales, which covers a vast amount of space, as you can imagine. 80% of the English population live 15 miles away from an EFL ground. So we have that ability to connect people, to bring people together, to have that easy access to stadiums across the country and across our 72 clubs. So using the partnership and using the influence and the expertise of RNIB allows us to make sure our clubs can be in the best position to offer the best possible experience for all supporters.
And the guide covers a lot in it there. You know, we think about things like audio description. You know, if you go to a game, the quality of the description, the kit, even navigating around the stadiums as well. And it's all about making that experience more inclusive and, you know, helping people feel more independent and part of the crowd too.
Yeah, and that's it. And we have some clubs who are massive fabrics of the English game, and a lot of people know them by name. But we also have clubs, as you go down the division, who really run on a very small scale in terms of the number of staff, the number of expertise, their experience that they're coming from. So being able to use this guide can show us and show our clubs the ways of how you actually go about doing these things and putting these things into place. So again, that whole environment, that whole experience, this whole country, the UK as a whole, lives and breathes football, and everybody needs that opportunity to be able to access that, to get the feel, the smells, the experiences of walking into that stadium at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, to be able to enjoy it, to be able to then talk about it, experience it, be able to share the memories, becomes really important. And everybody has to have that opportunity to gain those.
From what I looked at in some of the points in the guide, you know, it's not about perhaps big financial investments, which might be tougher for smaller clubs. You know, a lot of this can be around just education of staff and stewards to let them know, you know, the best way to interact and the best way to almost lend a hand.
Oh, exactly. And the little things, the way that you maybe guide somebody to their seat, the experience that you give them in terms of the communication that you provide, just the simple understanding of the inclusiveness, the challenges that people may be facing, and how you can just simply make a little change that makes a big difference to them, how you potentially support their assistance dog, how you make sure that they have the right channel on the audio descriptive device, can really make a big difference. And the EFL welcomes 20 million fans each season. It's like 1 in 4 tickets to a sporting event in England is to an EFL match. So we're not talking about small numbers here. So if we want to be representative and reflective, we know we're going to have visual impairment and blind supporters coming through our turnstiles each and every week. And it's all about making sure is not can we just do the basics, but can we allow them to have an experience that grows, because football is changing, the supported experiences is changing, and we need to make sure aspects like this and the guidance from the RNIB is supported to allow our clubs to know, okay, what you did 10 years ago was okay 10 years ago, but we have moved on, technology's moved on, the expectations moved on, what is actually an opportunity to implement has moved on as well. And using the experience of the RNIB, who live this every single day, who are the heartbeat of this community, allows us to make sure that we are listening and trying to implement that effective change.
How can the EFL promote and support the guide through all the clubs as well? How do you guys look to, you know, sort of disseminate it and be there for any help and advice and support?
So what we do is we make sure that our clubs understand what the guidance is. We make sure that the guidance is available to them, and we give them an explanation using the expertise from RNIB of what steps 1 to 5 might look like. Because sometimes that's the challenge for some of our clubs. They don't understand what the need is. What is audio descriptive? What is effective audio descriptive? What is some of the other bits of technology? And what is some of the education that's needed? So we give them the steps 1 to 5, asking the clubs, well, can you now go and implement steps 6 to 10, which is the actual putting it in place? So we make sure our clubs understand what the fan base looks like to understand why it is important. Now, we might say to a club, well, you need to put this audio descriptive, and they might come back to us and say, but there's nobody from that community who attends our matches. We know that through our information. But we can then go back to that club and say, but did you know in your local community there is this many people who are living with visual impairment or blind who could access your stadium if you provided it, or if you actually advertised that you provided it? So it's all about just supporting our clubs and making that sure that understanding, because sometimes football clubs get so focused on that 3 o'clock on a Saturday, the actual process of putting a team on the pitch, and sometimes they need to just be able to be supporting and advised about some of these other inclusion aspects.
A good financial incentive as well for the clubs. If they are more accessible, then they may get more people coming through the turnstiles, they may get more people purchasing stuff at the grounds or purchasing the merchandise as well. So there is a kind of fiscal plus here too.
Yeah, there's a fiscal plus in terms of actually the exchange of people coming to the stadium and what that brings as a financial point of view. But if clubs do this well, they can also start to use that from their sponsors and actually being able to show that they are a responsible, forward-thinking club who's doing everything for their community. That's what we call a corporate social responsibility aspect of that CSR, is that they're going above and beyond and making sure that people are being included in the community, that are reaching out to the community. So there's two aspects, and fundamentally, it's the right thing to do. And a lot of time, that will include people with a visual impairment as part of that community.
And I suppose the word here as well, David, is collaboration as well. I know you do a lot of that with different organisations, but this collaboration with RNIB, a hugely important one and beneficial for both.
Yeah, when we created our most recent equality, diversity, and inclusion strategy together, probably when you read it, 4 out of the 5 pillars are quite stereotypical that you would see in any ED&I based strategy, talking about education, support, embedding, communication. They're all, probably you could pick up any equality strategy across the world, and those four would be seen. Our fifth one was listen, because let's be fair, we're a football organisation. Our job is to put a football on a pitch and to let it roll. What we need to do is use the experience of RNIB to tell us, well, what does the visual impairment and blind community look for? What do they want? Because I'm not visually impaired, I'm not blind, so I've never lived that experience. And we need organisations such as RNIB to consult with us, to support us, to help us understand what is needed by that community so we can make effective change to the game.
Just before we finish up, David, I mean, we're talking a lot about spectating and that inclusion as well, but you also do a lot encouraging people to play the game if they're blind or partially sighted as well, and enjoy the game, enjoy the social aspect of it as well.
Yeah, well, across our 72 clubs, each and every single one of them have what's called a CCO, which is their charity, their trust, the participation element, who's out there in the communities, working in schools, working for a lot of social development causes, whether it be loneliness, whether it be mental health, whether it be para football sessions. And coming from a background when I was at the Scottish FA, we launched a charity which I founded, which was called Scottish Para Football, which was all about normalising the fact of playing football. Because we went down a path for a number of years where we talked about people accessing the game and spectating the game. But it's also important that we talk about, well, we love the game. A lot of people's first love for the game comes from playing the game. So it's another entry point where we can get people playing the game, we can get people physically active. That then brings a whole load of other aspects in terms of health, in terms of camaraderie, in terms of friendship, in terms of just having an added love of the game. And that becomes really important for us as well. So we're continuously working with our CCOs and with different footballing bodies to try and improve that opportunity to actually access the game, to kick the ball as well as spectate on it.
And if you'd like to find out more about the accessible stadium guidance, do have a look at rnib.org.uk. You can also call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. David, it's great to hear the enthusiasm for this. We've got some real high hopes here, and thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan.